Okay. Basically, what I've got for today to look at, other than looking at some JavaScript, is to look at all the different things that are involved in making a website. And several of these articles at the top get into how you market your website. Because if you create a website and nobody knows it's out there, then unless it's a personal website, or as I said, in my case, I don't care whether anybody finds it, because it is, if you want to pass the course, you'll find it. And if you don't, but nobody else needs to find it except people who are passing the course, so I don't have to worry about it. But, and that's true for a lot of websites, but a lot of websites like that are made internal. Companies will lots of times have websites that contain all of the forms that the company uses and contains information about the company, and you have to go there to get that kind of information, but that's not a public site. If you make a public site, you've got to get into marketing. And my problem is going to be trying to remember which ones are kind of interesting. This one says, basically, what you've got to do when you are writing a website is your, and this especially applies to your homepage. Your homepage has to have the information for the little trollers that are spiders that are going around there and finding how to classify you. And they say one of them is to look at, you know how when you do a search, down at the bottom it says search related to, and it gives you those? And they say, okay, those are words that would be a good idea to include on your page. So if you can include Web 2000 on your page, or C310 versus that on your page, then that means that you are including things on your page that Google, in this example, feels that people will be looking for, because they come up with these, as in Logitech C310 versus 270. So apparently a lot of people have wanted to know the difference between those two. So that is something that's going to get you a higher ranking if you put on your page somewhere in there, you know, we will be discussing the difference between the C310 versus the 270. And if you stuff that stuff into your page as much as you can, then the little spiders are going to find it, or and you're liable to get a higher placement. Okay, so that's what they talk about. Identify long tail modifiers, which until I read this article, I didn't realize those were known as long tail modifiers, but apparently they are. Okay, and what you need to do is work them into your page. So you need to try to put some text in there if you possibly can, and if not in your in your front page, pretty soon afterward. But the more you can work into your front page, the better off you are. Okay. And then if you go down and they make that point, rich snippets are search listings that include information regarding a particular price and everything like that. And so they're powerful because you can increase the number of people that click on your page. And the process for setting up or enabling rich snippets will be based on your platform, so you may need to do some research to do it. Once you think everything is set up properly, you can go to, and this is the reason this article is good, Google's rich snippet testing tool, and see if things are set up the way you want it to be. if you click on these links, they send you to places where you can worry about how to put that in. So it has you input the stuff you want to put in, hit the validate, and you've increased, you've put in those little comments, basically. Okay? And they go through and do a lot of things. They talk about how important it is to write a good title, and you want to include a very, you know, kind of catchy title. So apparently, complete trolling monitors. They apparently think that is a cool title. Okay, so what you're looking for is write titles and descriptions that people can't resist. So you basically want to try to put in, you know, a title we've kind of ignored, but in the header part there is a title there. And if you can write kind of an appealing title, and that is helpful as well. And then they talk about internal links. And one of the big things that they're looking for is that you link to other pages and other pages link to you. That's one of the things that the spiders like. And that even apparently works, from what I've read, if you're linking in pages in your own website. If you link back and forth between them, that even helps. But it really helps to go and put links. Ask somebody, you know, if you're selling a product and they're selling a complementary product. So if you have a doggy shelter, you might go to a pet store that's local and say, all right, I will put a link to your pet store on my page if you will put a link to my pet shelter or my pet babysitting service or whatever it is, walking service, on your site. And so we've got this mutual, I'm linking to you, you're linking to me, and that is one of the things that apparently they look at when they're ranking you, is that other sources like you. Now, you can use social media for this as well, and you can set up your own social media site, and you can have links to your web page from your social media. And you can go and find other people's blogs that they have that relate to your work and put in a blog where you put in a comment about their page and you include the reference to link over to your page. So any place that you can find that you can get other people to link to your page is going to help in your placement in the search engines. Okay. And I think that kind of covers that. This post is amazing. Thanks for sharing. I love these comments that people put in there. I mean, they're either, this is the best thing since sliced bread, or how could you have posted something this stupid, is going to be kind of the general reactions. So I've got a bunch of different ones up here about how you can market things. And some of them are a little older, but I think they're still good. Some of them are fairly current. And I think this is the other one I wanted to look at. Okay. 33 free places to promote your website. Okay, and they're basically saying, okay, here are some search engines. And you can go to the search engines usually and submit basically an application so that you will be on their search engines, okay? The majority of traffic from the internet is derived from search engines, okay? So you want to provide information. So you're going to basically go and provide information to them. So you should go, for example, to Google and look and find the place where you can say that you want to do it. And I'm not seeing it right now. Google search. I'm feeling lucky. I'm feeling playful. Cute. Okay, right click. Huh. Okay, that didn't show the place. But if you do a search for Google, and what you want to do is you want to send in information about your website to Google, to Yahoo, to Bing, to whichever are the biggest search engines. Okay, and then you've got online directories, like Yellow Pages. So you can go, and if your page would make sense to be showing up on any of these, then you want to go and put them in. If it's about a trip, you want to go to TripAdvisor. But you want to go and submit things to these places. Okay? So you can go to them and submit an application and say that you would like to be involved there. And then, for example, if you're interested, if you're starting a restaurant, you should go and look at where and do a search. If you do a search for a restaurant and you do a search and you say, I want a Japanese restaurant in the Fall River area, what comes up? And whatever comes up, that's what you should submit to the sites. So they say Urban Spoon and Open Table are two of the ones that you can go to that will put your restaurant up there. Now, some of them may end up costing money, but it's probably worth doing if you're running a restaurant and you want to have people find it. Then you go and you look at some of the social links, Facebook pages, obviously, YouTube, obviously, all of those kinds of things. Get your site recognized, and that's what you want to do. And you want to go and blog about it. You want to, if you put it up on photo sharing, and put up some things there. But essentially, those are places you can promote your website. Okay. And so that's the other thing that you need to do. So if you are creating a professional website, you need to be reading a bunch of these articles and finding out how to market your website, how to get other people to go to your website. And if you're in the business of creating websites, you definitely have to do that. You have to get people so that the customer will go there. Okay, so that's a set of things about how you can market your website. Okay, now, I will tell you right now that there is going to be a question on the final about marketing or promoting your website, okay? And I'm going to ask you to write about how you would go about if you wanted to make your page. And, for example, you're doing this business you're doing, Michaela. And so how would you get it out there and where would you put? And that is going to be one of the questions on the final, is to write up how you would get people to go to your website and find your website. And these are some articles, and you can do some articles on your own. I had a student a few years ago, this is an old article, but that he put out. But he actually started making a business. That was faster than we expected. He started making a business to help people get placement. And he actually was, he'd help them set up websites, but he was also advertising himself as somebody that understood placement and how to get your website placed. Okay. So, then promoting your website and all of that. There's a bunch of articles about out here. 37 ways to promote your website. Okay. And they are saying, for example, you want to do the title. Okay. And you want to have, as we said before, a meaningful title in there. So when you're setting up the page, you want to make sure you have the head tags and you have the title tags. And all of those good things. The words on your homepage are critical because the homepage is most looked at. Write a descriptive meta tag, okay? So you can write in your head something where you say meta, name equals description, content, and you can put a lot of things that you want the spiders to pay attention to. So those are words which you're putting in there, and you're saying these are the words that if somebody's looking for any of these things, they should. This should be a page that meets those needs. Now, meta tags are not as significant as they used to be because people used and abused them and put the same word in there 50 times and did all that kind of stuff. And so the browsers actually do not pay as much attention to meta tags as they used to. The maximum number of characters should be about 255. Just be aware that only the first 60 or so are visible on Google and so forth. Okay, include keywords in headers. So headers are important too. Again, when they're searching your site, they look at titles. They look at the meta tags. They look at headers. Position your keywords in the first paragraph of your body. So they tend to look at the beginning more than at the end. Okay? So all of these are basically good advice. Use keywords and hyperlinks. So if you set up a link, have the words that you're going to have them click on be keywords, not just say click here. Okay, but have them something that is going to convey information. Make your navigation system user-friendly. Dead links are no good. Okay, if they find a lot of dead links, your page is going to suffer from it. Okay. A sitemap. Some of the browsers like a sitemap. A sitemap page with links to all your pages can help the search engines find your pages. Okay, so they suggest you do a sitemap. SEO, what does that stand for?
Search engine optimization.
Search engine optimization. And that's what you're trying to do, is you're trying to optimize your site so that the engines will find stuff. And there's just a whole load of articles out there. Okay. As I said, promoting your business on the internet. So put in your address, put in your phone number. And as I've said before, if I don't see an address and a phone number and contact information, I won't go to the site. So it's good to put there for the user as well. Okay, if I can't, I'm not going to buy anything from you unless I think I can contact you and complain. Okay, so if I can't contact you, I'm not buying anything from you. And email doesn't cut it. Okay, you can blow off emails real easily. I want a phone number. And I'm sure that doesn't really do me any good, but psychologically I feel better. And as I said, you want to submit your site to anything you can. Submit your site to directories, submit your site to trade organizations or something. So if you're in the florist business, submit to, you know, whatever industry is involved in providing you the flowers and that sort of thing. So you want to go to all of the trade organizations and things that are specialized. And it's going to take time. You're going to sit down and you've got to, once your website is done, you've got to do this. You've got to contact. You've got to make links. You've got to go on social networking and put in your page. You've got to go to blogs. You've got to try to find people that are willing to trade. And it takes a lot of time. But if you do that, then your site is going to rank higher. And just the exercise of doing it means that people are going to find the listing for your site. And one of the articles I was reading said, if you put it in enough places too, reporters, for example, may, if they're looking for something, will find, you know, your reference and may call you for an interview, which would be great. So if you can get any media, if you can get the newspaper to interview you, because newspaper, you know, can be online, but it, even you want to get advertising offline too. You know, is there a truck now that goes down the road that doesn't have a website on it? Okay, if it is, then clearly it's not doing a lot of business, because every truck I see going down the road has a website on it. Okay, so that, you know, contact us and they have the big website. Request reciprocal links, we talked about that. Write articles for others in websites and newsletters. Get your name out there in every article you write. Then you end up putting your webpage into the article. Okay, and if you can put out informative articles at different places, you can get it in. And then they talk about social media. Okay, and social media is great for linking now. And it's a lot of work. I mean, I am delighted that I don't have to do this, because, as I said, I've got a captive audience, so I don't have to do any advertising for my website. The college has to advertise theirs, but I don't have to advertise mine. Okay, include your address on stationery cards and literature, obviously. Develop a free service. So that is if you can do something for free, and we've talked about this before, but if you can put out a new article, a new interview every week or something like that, check back on Thursdays. We'll have a interview with a professional every Thursday. Then people are going to check back to your site. And if they go back to your site, they may actually stay there and buy something. And sending out transaction and reminder emails, I personally think you have to be careful with that. The sending offers, there are some emails I respond to when I get them. There are others that I curse when I, you know, because they email me far too often. If I get a, you know, please visit our site kind of email every day, then I'm not going to go to their site. And in fact, I'm going to ask them to remove me. They talk about contests. And then there is advertising with pay. And I think that kind of summarizes that. But there's some good articles in these about how to go about promoting your site. Okay. This one, Search Engine Watch. Maybe that isn't it. Articles on SEO. Yeah, so that has some articles in it, but that's not the one I was looking for. SEO Guide, I think that's it. This is actually a whole book. And I'm looking to see what the date is. 1-8-2015, so it hasn't been updated all that soon. But this is a whole book, and they have chapters on everything that you could possibly want to know. The Beginner's Guide to Search Engine Optimization. And they have this whole series of chapters that give you an awful lot of information. I haven't read it all. I've read some of it. and it's pretty good information. And as I said, you are going to be asked on your final to write a letter, an essay. It will be part of the final about getting your site recognized and getting it so that people will go to your site and how you would go about doing that. And so I'm telling you now, start doing a little research because that's going to show up on the final. And if you get the research done now, then you're all set for the final. Your final, in case I didn't mention it. Your final is, I think, on what? The 14th of December. No, that's the last day of classes. So you must be on the 21st of December.
Okay.
Huh? Yeah, right. So we are now sitting here at the 30th. We have a class on the 7th. The 14th, I will not hold a class. It will be a lab. Okay? I don't hold anything the last week. I just hold labs. And in fact, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so on the 15th and backing up here to the 10th, there'll be an open lab in this room from 9:30 until around 3:30. And I'll be here and Carolyn will be here and it'll be an open lab if people are having any problems and need help on anything. The 7th, we will have a class. The 14th, we will not. And I will post your exam on the 14th. So if you come to class on the 14th, you can ask questions and read over the exam and ask questions about it. Actually, I'll post it on the 13th, so you can read it over before you come. So your final will be posted up on the 13th. It's due the 21st. Okay, and I don't know what time they say, but it's due at the start of the final. So if the final is scheduled to start at 10:30, then it has to be in by 10:30. And I actually take off late points on finals. You've had them for a week. You ought to be able to get it in. Okay, so that's the story on the final. Okay. Now, as I said, there's a whole load of them in here that you can read, and there's a lot of interesting articles. About robots is this article. You can put it in there such that you tell it that you don't want it to do something. So if you don't want the robot or spider or whatever you call it to search something, for example, I can say disallow. And so I'm telling it I do not want it to search those directories. Okay, and I save this as robot.txt. And I put it in the same directory as my home page. And basically, it allows me to give some information to the search engines. Okay. So you create a text file called robot.txt and make sure it's named exactly that. It must be uploaded to the root accessible directory of your site, not a subdirectory. So it's got to be where your site is. And it basically has that structure of user agent asterisk disallow. That would mean nothing. Okay, it can go all places. Okay, and if you're just talking about a particular crawler, you can put it in there. Asterisk means all crawlers. And then you can put in areas that you don't want it to search. So that basically is a way of limiting the damage if you don't want the search engine to find something. Okay. Advanced searches, you should know how to do. And let's see, Google searching. There's Yahoo. Improve your Yahoo search results. And they get into, and the Yahoo one gets into, the different ways you can do things, like putting in the or. If you actually include the word or, you're saying, I want this or this. If you want specifics, you put the New Zealand Viking in quotes, and that means it is going to look for exactly that, as opposed to kind of breaking up the words. If you want to exclude words, you put a hyphen. So if I want cell science but nothing about phones, I put a hyphen phone, and I exclude that. And I'm not real sure what the plus actually does for you. It used to be very important to put the plus sign in. I don't think it's as important anymore. But it kind of emphasizes the things. Okay. So they have about advanced web searching, shortcuts in Yahoo searching, and you can look and do more effective searches if you do that. I use the minus a lot. I use the putting things in quotes a lot, and I use the or a lot. There was a time, let's see if there's anything in there. Not really. There was a time way back when they actually gave you a whole load of things you could do with a search, and you could do things like this and parenthesis, this or this, and really put the same kind of logic in that you can put in if you're doing a search of a database. But they seem to have gone away from doing a lot of that. And it's now the keep it simple, stupid approach more than it's the I would like to do a very sophisticated search. And the Google searching, okay, they give you things like the plus sign. Let's see. Okay. They give you the or, they give you get information about a link, so you can say, I want all the links to YouTube and use words like that. I want to go to the Olympic site and look for something. So you can get very specific. So if you take a look at the search engine operators, it will help you if you are frustrated with searching. And there are times when I get very frustrated with searching. The other thing that comes up in these examples are evaluations, and I picked four of them. That's not as good. Let me find one that does what I... Yeah. Okay, so if you're looking for whether you've got a valid website, a lot of universities publish these evaluating the website criteria and tools and tell you the things to look for if you are evaluating your website. So you want to look for author, date of publication, what can the URL tell you? It can tell you in who wrote the page. Does the page have, if it's a gov site, then you assume that the government probably knows what it's doing. Although I have called the IRS with a question and called back a second time and got a totally different answer. So it depended on who I got. So I guess I have a little cynicism about that. But if you go to a site that has .gov, then that is presumably the government site, and at least if they give me the wrong answer, I can copy and paste and tell them that the answer came from them. And if you go to sites you recognize and things like that, it will be better. But they basically give you things to look for. So you want to go to that. So those are just some references, and as I said, they're going to appear on the final, some of them. Okay, so now the quizzes. Did you get a quiz working? And you said yes, you wrote it. I'm assuming that you did. So if I want to do a quiz, and I have them out here, quiz code. So this is one that I did. I did a bunch of them. On this one, here are the questions down here. And the form name is questions. Okay, so I've got the form name, how questions. And I set up the questions that I wanted. Okay, so the first one was a true-false question. It, again, has to have the same name so that it knows that the two buttons go together and they're not separate buttons. The value is true or false, and what appears on the screen is true or false, and I made that a capital T to differentiate so that you can see that that's what appears on the screen. Okay. And so I have my question there. Question 2 is another radio button done the same way. Question 3 is a checkbox. Okay? And I gave them the name of H, X, C, and J. They do not have the same name. Checkboxes are, you can check them all. Okay? So they do not have the same name. And then I put in some other radio buttons where I was giving them a choice of what to take. Okay, so there's 4 different things for question 4. And there are 4 different things for question 5. So there's only one here that I use checkboxes. The others are all radio buttons. Okay. And this would be set up pretty much this way completely. In this particular one, I have a button which I said, on click, do calculate average, and send it up the information on questions. Okay? And then beneath it, I have 2 places where I'm going to put the results, numeric grade and letter grade. And those are the 2 places that are going to receive the result. Okay, numeric grade and letter grade. And those are both text boxes. So if you look over at the form, okay, you can see I've got calculate your grade, your numerical grade is, and your letter grade is. And those each have a text box to put them in. Okay. So, when I click on my button, and I only have 1 button on this one, I go to Calc Average and I send up the form questions. Okay. So, before I do anything more, let me do this one. So, I think this is, if I remember correctly, I'm going to get myself 100. What was that one? Okay, so that was 100 and it was an A. Okay, and if I change this, it goes down to 80 and a B. So now if I look at the source, that's my form set up. Now I'm going to go up and look at the function. So I set up your average is 0 and your grade is blank. So before I even got started, I've set those up as 0 and blank. And then I said, okay, the function calculate average, here are the questions. And again, for the first one I wrote window.document, but all I really had to write was questions. Okay, so I wrote questions. If questions.question10 checked equals true, then I'm adding 20 points to the average. Okay, so if they checked the zeroth one, which would be the first one, and looking over at the side, you can say I checked the zeroth one, and so I added 20 points. And then I go down and say if question two, if the zeroth one is checked, add another 20 points. And then I said, okay, now I want all of these to be true. So I said, if questions.h, because that's the name I gave it, checked equals true, and question.x checked equals true, and questions.c checked equals true, and questions.j checked equals true, because I wanted them all to be checked. And the h, x, c, and j are the letters, the names that I gave them. So I'm checking to see if they're all true, and if they're all true, I add 20. Okay, there's no partial credit. Now, if I'd wanted to be more complex, I could have written that if statement so that if you've got three of them, etc., if you've got two of them, whatever. Okay. I could have just checked each one individually and added 5 points if you got each one. So then I go down and I say, okay, on the question four, I want the third one, so I've got a 2 here. The third one, if that's checked, I get a 20. And on this one, I also apparently want the third one, and I get 20. Okay, so now I am taking and saying that I want to make the numeric grade, the value of the numeric grade, your average. So I'm putting your average down there. Okay, now notice again, this one I did not do a return, and we'll look at one where I did a return in a minute. On this one I just said, on click, go do that. So I'm not expecting anything back. So up in the code, I am actually moving the stuff to the form, up in the function. Okay, so I very carefully at this point, where am I? Checked, right there. I very carefully took your average, which I've been adding 20 to every time they got it right, and I said your average is going to become the value of the field called numeric grade, which is on the form called questions, and again, I don't need window.document. Okay. So now I know what it is, so now I'm checking it. And I am saying, if your average, which is the thing I just moved down, so it's the thing I checked. So I said, if your average is greater than or equal to a 90, then you get an A. And I say, your grade equals A, and then I say, make your grade the value in the letter grade, etc. Okay. Now, actually, that line could have been pulled from all of these and put in once at the bottom. so I didn't have to write that line 5 times. It would have been sufficient to say your grade equals A, your grade equals B, your grade equals C, and then after I'd finished all of the if-else questions, then I could have done the document right. So, if it's greater than or equal to A, I do that else. If it's greater than 80, else if it's greater than 70, else if it's greater than 60, everybody else gets an F. Okay? And so your grade gets put into the box down at the bottom. Okay, so I end up with your grade down there. So this is one way of doing it. Okay? Questions? Okay. And that one was called All 28. I'm not real sure what the names mean. Okay, this one I have got 2 buttons. And on this one, am I using the return or not? Okay, in the other one I had just said on click, go do that. On this one I'm saying on click, numeric grade dot value is equal to what comes back from that. So I know I am doing a return. Okay. I know I am doing a return. Apparently, that's the first time I tried to write on the board. Smart board tools. There they are. Okay. So, I know I need a return. No, I need a return there. Okay. That's not bad. Okay, so we need to orient.
I don't know how this thing is unoriented. But I probably say that every time I'm oriented.
Okay. Okay.
So, let's see if I can write it better this time. Okay.
So this says, that's not a good R, but anyway. This says, go do that function. And the return is going to go in as the value in the field down here called numeric grade. So there's numeric grade. Whatever is returned will take the value of what goes into numeric grade. So when I see that setup, I know there's a return. If it just says on click, calculate average questions, then I know it's just going to go do the function.
But if it says on click, do that and assign the value to numeric grade, then I know that I've got a return going on there.
Okay. Notice also there are two buttons on this one. So, if I do this one, oh, come on. And I say, calculate your grade, it says 100, and then I say, show letter grade, and it comes up with the A. So those are done in separate functions, not in the same function. Okay, so if I look at my view source again, I start out, and it's very much the same thing. I check and I add 20.
The difference is down here, where I say, return your average. In the other version, I did an assignment, and I assigned your average to the field down below. Here, I just said, return your average. Okay?
And then, when I hit the next button, it used your average. Okay, this is all within the same script, and your average was defined up at the top. So it is available to both functions. So I said use your average, it's available to both functions. So now it checks. And it says, if your average is greater than or equal 90, it's an A, else it's a B, else it's a C. And I check for each thing. And what do you think I'm going to have as the last thing here? Return your grade. So when you look down here, the last thing I'm having is return your grade. And when I return your grade, it is... Not only did it not come up originally, but it lasted about 30 seconds before I have to tell it I want to pen it back. Okay, so it returned your grade. And that goes down. So the return things... Okay, the return things go in down here. So when I say, return your grade, unfortunately I can't get it all. When I say return your grade,
okay, so I wrote, return your grade sends it down here and it ends up going into that because I said go do the calculate letter grade and send it your average and when it comes back return your grade will go in as the value of letter grade. Yes, no, maybe?
Okay. Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Alrighty. The next one we're going to look at is the problem I want you to actually incorporate in something for this time. So we're going to go over how this works And I purposely did not put it up because I want you to do something similar to this. And if I put it up, you could copy and paste it. I don't want you copying and pasting. I want you to have to actually enter the stuff in and create it. So, therefore. And what is the name of this one again? Agro4. What? Tim, yeah. But it should be F drive. Ah, come on. Maybe I put it in a directory in this one. I put it when I copied it over. Another problem to solve? Nope. It's on another disk if I can't find it here. Solutions? Nope. All right, we'll try a different disk. Did I put it on that one? No, apparently not. Well, CIS 122, didn't it? Okay. If I went to CIS 120, there it is. I knew it was someplace around. Okay. Now this one is kind of neat. Okay. Notice I started out and I said item number, description, quantity. And then I've got item number, description, quantity, and it's set up like a form. And I said add a row, and then I have done. Which probably isn't what I should have. I probably should have final totals or something. But I was done. So I'm going to put in an item number here. 1, 2, 3. And I'm going to put in a description. It's a book. And I have a quantity of 12. And I'm clicking on add a row. And it adds in the row. Then I am going to put another item of 1, 2, 3. And this is going to be a mouse. And I want one mouse, add a row, I now have that. And then I'm going to say 1, 2, 4. And the description is going to be a flash drive. And I want 3 of them. And I'm saying add a row. So every time that I say add a row, it is moving down one row. Okay. And then I clicked on done. And done gives me a total. And it also makes my form go away. So done gives me a total. So 15, 16, that gives me a total. Okay? So I have the item number, the description, and the quantity. Okay. So what I'm going to ask you to do, and we're going to start working on this when I finish explaining this, is I want you to come up and I want you to create an invoice. Okay. So on your invoice, you're going to have the company information over here. And I would like also some kind of an image. And then you're going to have the invoice number, and you just make that up, whatever invoice number you want to make up, and the date. Okay. Then I want to have down here item number, description, quantity, and price.
okay? And I want you to fill price and, why don't we have an amount here, so. So that if I enter in 111 book, quantity 12, price $5, result is 60. Okay, so I've got the 12 times 5 is 60, okay? And so I want this to come along like this, and then down here I want to print the total of the result. Okay, so how much you owe them. So if I have a 1, 2, 3, and I have a mouse, and I only wanted one of those, and it was worth 25, then my total would say 85.
Yes, no, maybe?
I don't really get, like, the whole top part. Like, are we entering that part in ourselves?
Yes. Or you can take it in from a user on a form. But you can just, I mean, the company would be part of your regular stuff. So you'd have your company name and address and some kind of a logo here. Okay? And that would be part of your hard coding. And then the invoice number... would probably be, go ahead and just make it up, because the invoice number would be hard to get if you don't have a server going on that's holding the invoice number. So just make up an invoice number. And you can either get the system date, which you can do in JavaScript, or you can make up a date. I don't much care. Okay? And then this part down here is that, but I've added two more fields. Okay, so I've added a price, which is the price per, and I've added the result so that if you multiply quantity by price, you get result. Okay. So, and this code basically covers a lot of what you need to do. And I will take pictures of the code for those at home. Okay. So, I started out and I said I gave the table, if we get started up here, I gave the table itself an ID, and I called it variable rows, so var rows, because it's going to have a variable number of rows. So I gave that a ID. And then I said, okay, now I'm going to make a row. And on the row, I am putting the word item number, the word description, and the word quantity. Okay, so those are basically my table headers. Okay. And then I close that row. Okay, and then I close the table.
Because that's all I put in the table at the beginning. When I first ran this, that's all you saw up there. Now I have two buttons. Okay, so let's get back out so you can see it as we go along. Okay. So this is what we see at the beginning. Okay, so we only see in the table the item number, description, and quantity. And then we see the little form that is set up. And the form is taking in the information. Okay, so all this is prior to the script. So here's the form. And it says item number, and then it says input type equals text. The ID is ITNO for item number.
and I put a couple of spaces after it. And then I said description, and as an input type is text, ID equals description, and a couple of spaces. And then I put quantity. And I put input type equals text, ID equals quantity. Now, if I wanted to, I could have set those up separately. But I just put in the literal word that I wanted followed by the box, literal word followed by the box, and that works fine. Okay? So then I put at the end two click events. So I have one of them that says add a row, and then I put some spaces, and then I have another one that says done. Okay? So if I click on add a row, it does the function called test it. And notice it's not returning anything at this point. And if I click on calc tot, it does the function, if I click on done, it does the function called calc tot. Okay. So the function called test it is going to put up a line. Okay, so here I am, and this is where I've started. Okay, so now I'm ready to enter some information. So I'm going to enter 100. I'm going to enter a description of computer, and I'm going to enter a quantity of 2. Okay? And then as soon as I do that, I say add a row. So that takes it, when I say add a row, it takes it and puts it in the table. Okay? And it also clears out the text boxes waiting for the next one to come along. Okay, so if the next one comes along, and I'm going to have 112, and that would be a printer, and the quantity is 1, on this, and I say add a row, and it puts it up there. Okay, so every time I say add a row, it puts the row in the table. This is kind of my work area. After I'm done with done, I make that work area go away. So you won't see that work area once I've clicked on done. Okay. So I'm preparing an invoice, basically, and I'm putting in what the person ordered, how many they ordered, and I'm putting it up there. And as I said, I want you to also do price and result, or whatever you want to call it, subtotal, whatever. Okay, so now let's look at the code for test it. So test it. I said variable table equals document get element by ID varos. So I'm getting that particular table. In retrospect, I probably shouldn't have named this variable table. I probably should have named it my table or something like that. But it works. It does understand the difference between a table, which is a tag, and the table that I'm setting up as a variable. So the first thing I need to know is how many rows I already have. So I'm saying table.rows.length. Okay? So that tells me how many rows I've already put up there. Because if I'm adding a row, I got to be able to add it beneath other rows. So I got to know how many are already there. Okay? So then I said I want to insert a row in the table. So I said table.insertRowCount. Okay? So that will insert a row after the rows that are already there. Because I'm counting, and that will come up with there's two already there. Well, when it inserts it at 2, that's fine, but don't forget it starts counting at 0, so this is the 0th one. This is the first one. The second one would go down there. Okay. Again, it's the difference between a count and using them. Goes 0, 1, 2, 3. Count just counts how many are there, and it doesn't start at 0. So then I said, okay, I want to have a row, insert cell 0, insert cell 1, and insert cell 2. So I'm inserting 3 cells going across because I've got 3 fields. Now you're going to have 5 fields, so you're going to have to do another insert for 3 and another insert for 4 because you're going to have 5 cells going across. I only have 3 cells going across. Okay. So then I said, all right, now what do I want to put in those cells? These lines right here have just created the row and created the cells. They haven't put anything into them. They've just set up the structure. Okay. Now I want to put something into them. And I am using to do this DOM. So I'm saying get element by ID item number. Okay, now if you look up here, ID item number is what I am talking in over there. So ID item number is that. So I am getting what was in there. Okay, so I'm taking what's in that item number box and I am putting it in the variable. I'm taking what's in the description, I'm taking what's in the quantity. So I am saying item number is equal to, description is equal to, quantity is equal to. And then I said, okay, now those cells that I created, cell 1, cell 2, cell 3, well, make the inner, change the inner HTML in cell 1 to have the value that was in item number. Change the inner HTML on cell 2 to have the value that was in description. And change the inner HTML on cell 3 to have the value that was in quantity. And then once I've done that, I am taking and erasing and saying item number value is now a space, description value is now a space, quantity value is now actually not a space. I shouldn't say that. That's nothing. So I emptied it out. So I emptied out the boxes in preparation for the next time. Because it's annoying if people leave their stuff behind and I have to erase before I put it in. So this cleans up after me. So every time I press the button, it says, okay, this is the table I'm using. Check how many rows are already there. Use that information to insert a new row. Put its 3 cells in that row. And now get the data that is stored on the form and put it in those 3 fields. And again, I kind of overdid. I was confusing myself by name, so I ended up using the same names to unconfuse myself. And maybe that's not a good idea. Maybe I should call it 111 after them or something like that. Then I said, okay, now take the item number's value and put it in the first cell. So it went right up there. Then take the item description's value and put it in the second value. So again, up there is computer. And then take the quantity value, which was 2, and put it in the cell 3. And now that I've moved them to the table, I can clean them out on the form. So this right here cleans the form. And this puts in the table. So basically now I fill the table.
I mean, this is kind of neat. That you can have, because with an invoice, that's the problem. You don't know how many things they're going to have. And so I can keep going as long as I want to and keep adding it to the table. Questions? Then I come down, and the next one is my calculate total. So again, if I look at this, I'm now done. So I'm going to click done. And watch what happens, okay? This is prior to clicking done. I've now clicked done. It wrote out that the total was 3, and it cleared all the rest of the stuff away. It made the form go away, it made the buttons go away. So that basically what I have left is the invoice. That's what I have left. Okay, so if I look at this, when I click on calculate total, actually, I probably should make the text size bigger. Although you have the printout, so. Okay, so again, and actually, let me pull this down so you can see that I'm basically doing the same thing. Again, I'm telling it this is the table I want to use. Get element by ID, bare rows. And way up high, I set table as having an ID of bare rows. Okay, so I said variable table equals that. So that's the table I'm using. The count is the number of rows or length in the table. Then I said bare tote equals 0. Okay, so I'm setting my total to 0. And then I said, okay, now I need an index. And I am calling it an I because, as I said, the world uses I when they use a for statement. So who am I to not use I? Okay, so I'm saying for I, starting at 1, and going while I is less than count. Okay, and it automatically will increment by 1. So I'm saying, okay, take the total. Starts out at 0. Add to it the information that I want to add. Okay, so where is this? Well, I'm saying parse integer because it's an integer. I'm saying go to the table rows and I would be 1 the first time through. So I'm looking at the first row. I'm looking at the second cell, which is actually the third cell, but again, we're going by that. So I'm saying, okay, this is the 0 cell, this is the first cell, this is the second cell. So it's the number in the second cell I want to add. Okay? So I am saying, take the inner HTML that's in the second and add it to tote. Okay, so it's now added that to token. Okay. And then I add one dot, and I keep doing this as long as there are rows up there. When the rows are done, I'm done. And then I said, okay, now what I want to do is I want to insert a row, just like I did up there. I'm inserting a row, and I'm inserting 3 cells. So these are exactly the same things that I did up here when I inserted a row inserting cells. Okay? This is what I did there, and the length is what I did. So I'm doing a lot of very similar things. The thing that's different is I'm accumulating the total. So then I go over here and I say, okay, in cell 2, and cell 2 is the second one over, the 0 first. I am putting the word total, and in cell 3, I'm putting the tote that I just accumulated. So I'm putting that total in there. And then I am saying, document get element by ID, add line, inner HTML is blank. So I am getting rid of the rest of the stuff. Okay. And notice there's add line. So add line is a paragraph here. Add line is a paragraph, and it contains the form and the buttons. So when I say change the inner element of that paragraph, what I'm saying is change the inner HTML of this paragraph and make it nothing. So that just wipes it all out. Because the paragraph now has nothing in it. Okay? So this is the add line, and this is where I am clearing out the add line by saying take the add line, take the inner HTML, and set it to nothing. Okay. So questions. Okay. What time is it? 12:30. Bring up what? Oh. Yes, I could do that. I'll find it in a minute. Oh, that is the right move. All right. I'm really trying to move that down there. And it just doesn't really want me to do that, apparently. Come on, you can do it. Got about 10 copies of that now. Okay, so that's what you're trying to do. Okay, so what I would like you to do, and this used DOM, so this is kind of more of an explanation of DOM. I'd like you to spend the next hour or half hour or whatever it takes. Hour probably, or spend some time anyway, to try to put this together while you can ask questions. Okay? And you're behind so you can work on something else, okay? So it's a open lab, basically. But it would make sense to work on this. And then next week, I've got a few random things that we're going to look at.
And we're pretty much done.
Have you got it half done?
Me?
You were working on it, I assumed.
Yeah. I basically wrote the structure out for it. I wrote the Java yet.
Tomorrow is the 1st of December. It can't be. And this is another one of those that has to be done by next Monday because I'm going to go over it next Monday.
Is it still like your best attempt type thing?
Yeah. But so far you've got most of them in, right? Done, right?
Yeah.